What do you think you're doing? You're listening to Crime Quest, a podcast covering the cold, the solved, and the theories. Join us.
All right. Hello, hello. This is Crime Quest. We're on episode seven.
Are we really?
Yeah, this is seven.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't realize we were that far along.
Yeah, this is number seven. We're, it's funny, you know, we're both super into podcasts and we listen to ones that are like on episode like 200 and it's crazy. I'm just like, how do these people have time to do this? But we'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there eventually. We will. But yeah, I did want to say thank you to the folks on Twitter who've been giving us some really good feedback and have just been really, really nice and very, like, friendly about everything. There's one podcast, and I'm sorry, I think that's been really our first interaction on Twitter. So
yeah, we're making some waves on Twitter. Yeah. That was exciting. The last one we posted, we got a little bit more movement. So we're really glad that people are actually listening. And
yeah,
the next step is to get more reviews. We still need people to give us reviews.
Yeah, that would be awesome. That would be fantastic.
I know that we're super amateur, but guys, like, just give us a review. Just let us know how we're doing. Let us know that you're even listening.
Yeah.
Because we know people are listening. They're downloading our podcasts, but we don't know who these people are or any of that. Plus, we could be better about being more active on, like, Facebook and stuff. But
we will be.
Okay.
We'll get there.
All right. So what are we talking about today? I have something. I think I was going to start, but I think you have are you doing a historical thing today? Okay.
It's pretty cool. We're going to talk about some sisters out in Christiansburg, Virginia.
Neat.
In the early 1900s. So the more I, like, look at it, the more intense it seems to be getting. So I think that's going to be fun.
Cool.
But I'm excited to hear what you've got.
Yeah, mine is more of a story. It is true. This actually happened to me, but I wrote it out like a narrative. Because I was originally going to make it a blog post, and I said, well, this is actually really cool. I could put it on the podcast, and I might post it on my blog anyways. But I think I'm just going to get right into it.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay. So it's called The Black German Shepherd. So, Hollywood Cemetery, full of history and beauty. It sits on the banks of the James River in Richmond, Virginia's Oregon Hill neighborhood, south of the city. I've been on many a stroll through its winding paths. Who knew a cemetery could be a place to enjoy life? The last of those many strolls that I took was unforgettable. Here's what happened. This was about 9 years ago, and I was bringing my then-boyfriend on a tour around Richmond. We, of course, had to go to Hollywood Cemetery. I remember we took a shortcut over the fence because we didn't feel like walking all the way to the entrance. The walk started like any other. We awed at the size of the graves and at just how many there were. Every inch of that place seemed to have a piece of granite with someone's name. There are many family mausoleums jutting out of the earth with etched in stone letters you can barely read due to years of erosion. The graves are no different. We tried to read each grave name as we walked past, saying them out loud as a tribute, but got tired after about 25. I'm sure saying the names in our heads was just as honoring. The new graves were a stark contrast against the old. Seeing a newer grave, we would run over to it to check the date, and were confused when we saw the date was 1950. Those stones really stand the test of time. We kept walking all the way to the edge where the ground stops and falls down to the roaring river. There's a wall you can sit on, but you have to step over a grave. We excused ourselves and thanked the dead for letting us hang out next to their resting place. We sat on the waist-height wall surrounding the cemetery, enamored with the view. As the golden day dimmed to bluish gray, we picked up the pace to make the loop back to the beginning of the property. We made the right turn around a bend, walking from west to north, and I heard something. I knew that the cemetery's size allowed for the living to wander without seeing one another, so I shrugged it off. Maybe it was a tree branch falling. But I couldn't shake the fact that it sounded like leaves crunching under feet. My first thought was it could be a derelict plodding around at any moment we were going to be asked for money or worse. We proceeded, but I heard the sound again. This time it was closer and was no longer walking in leaves, but walking on the pavement. Finally, I could decipher the sound. Pause. We only heard it in our breaks and conversation. It was as if the animal was tiptoeing as not to be detected. We were being preyed upon. When I turned around, I saw it, a black German shepherd. It sat in the middle of the paved black path staring. We spoke to it with friendly voices, expecting an excited approach. But it just sat there, unmoved. My mind flashed me back to when I was a child and was attacked by a neighbor's dog, an experience that can only be attributed to my naivety about going into another dog's territory to alert its owners that it was off its leash. We backed away slowly as we could see the dog's eyes focus right on something behind us. It stood up and walked to its right back into the sea of graves. We turned around and continued down the path. The chill of the shadows gave us signal to pick up the pace. I turned around and saw the animal once again slinking between the graves about 50 feet behind. In about 30 seconds, I turned back one last time and the dog had vanished. And that's my Black German Oh, wow. Shepherd story. Yeah, it was kind of scary at the time because we were alone and the behavior of the animal was really strange. It just,
yeah,
it kind of sat there and stared at us.
Huh.
And the guy I was dating at the time had a German Shepherd, so he was actually trying to get the dog to come over.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, no, that's not, you know, just leave him alone. And yeah, it was. And so I did a little bit of research online, and it, the only stuff I could find is some stuff about it's in British folklore, and it's a black dog that roams in cemeteries at night. And sometimes they're called, like, hellhounds, basically.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if that's what it was, but I will say that it didn't have a collar. And like I said, its behavior was really strange. It didn't act like a dog that I've encountered, like a regular dog that's domesticated. It actually acted more like a wild dog, because when you're around like a wild animal, they do that thing where they size you up. They like sit back and look at you. So it was more like that.
Okay.
There was something I found. It was on, now this is in, I think it's in North Essex and Suffolk, which is the coastline of England. And there's a dog called Black Shuck. And it's a ghostly black dog. Locals have told tales of a large black dog with malevolent flaming red or green eyes. According to reports, the beast varies in size and stature from that of a large dog to the size of a horse. Sometimes Black Shuck has appeared headless. And at other times, he appears to float on a carpet of mist. According to folklore, sorry, my voice is all messed up. The specter often haunts graveyards, side roads, crossroads, and dark forests. There are legends of Black Shuck roaming the Anglian countryside since before Vikings. His name may derive from the Old English word suka, meaning demon, or possibly from the local dialect word shucky, meaning shaggy or hairy. The legend may have been part of the inspiration for the Sherlock Holmes novel, The Hound of the Baskerville. It is said that his appearance bodes ill to the beholder, although not always. More often than not, stories tell of Black Shuck terrifying his victims, but leaving them alone to continue living normal lives. In some cases, it has supposedly happened before close relatives to the observer die or become ill. In other tales, the dog is considered relatively benign and said to accompany women on their way home in the role of protector rather than a portent of ill omen. And if you Google the Black German Shepherd, you get all I got all these pictures of the Black German Shepherd from the movie The Omen. But this dog didn't have, like, glowing red eyes or anything like that. It was just creepy.
I mean, Richmond's kind of weird about that stuff, too. I wouldn't be surprised if it is something.
Well, also, the fact that we saw him in a cemetery, just where we were, was odd, I thought.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much stuff that goes on downtown, and I know not everybody is a believer in the paranormal, but I think Richmond's a good example of what you should be.
Oh, I definitely think that I think it was strange, and I can't explain it in the sense that there was clearly no owner of the dog. There was nobody else calling for the dog. There was no one else in the cemetery that we could see. So, and it was a big dog. I mean, a Black German Shepherd is a big dog. And the fact that we couldn't, like, we turn around and he's not even there. He's not behind us anymore. Like, he's vanished. I thought that was very strange.
Oh, wow. That is.
I'm trying to think back, too, if anything happened to me around that time. But I don't remember exactly when this was, like, in terms of year. I know it had to have been, like, maybe early 2008, but I can't be sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that is my little black dog story. Do you have anything like that where you've had like an animal, a weird animal encounter?
Not necessarily a live animal. after my cats died, I swear that they were here though. I swear that when we lost some, we've lost three of our cats in the past 7 years.
Yeah.
To various diseases, and I swear I've, like, felt them right around my legs a few times.
Wow.
And it's always before their ashes come back. Because we've had them all cremated. And before their ashes come back, I swear, we have just, like, seen things. We've seen their tails, like, dart around the corner or felt them wrap around legs or something like that.
I think it's... Do you...
It's happened to all of us.
Yeah, so. It's interesting. Cats... I feel like they can see things. You know, you're sitting in your bedroom and they all of a sudden look into the hallway. My cats do that all the time and it scares me to death. I'm like, what is in the hallway? But I also think they are protecting me. You know, they're a barrier to evil.
Well, that's our old house in Ohio. We had a basement that like went on forever. You'd go downstairs and there's like a little tiny finished area.
Mm-hmm.
And the stuff that was unfinished, but it went all the way the length of the house. And I mean, there were like little sawed off or like closed off rooms and things like that. And the cat would always come running up the stairs from the basement, like tearing up the stairs, like something was chasing them. And considering the house was like almost 100 years old, and then the people that lived there after us had called and said, I think the house is haunted. I'm like, good, because it wasn't the only one that got that impression.
Wow.
But I'm pretty sure the cat saw something we didn't. So.
Yeah, I'm on a website right now. It's called, I have to share this in the show notes, but it's called, it's richardharland.net, and... Uh-huh. I guess he calls his website Sassy Cat.
Okay.
And he's got some fun little cat facts on here. He talks about the ancient Chinese believed that the glow from a cat's eyes could scare away evil spirits. According to the ancient Egyptians, the life-giving rays of the sun were stored overnight in the eyes of a cat for safekeeping. Buddhists in Southeast Asia thought that the souls of the dead pass into the bodies of sacred cats before moving on to the next life. That is creepy.
Yeah, that is creepy.
A common belief is that cats can see the aura or psychic energy that surrounds the body of humans. I will say this. After my stepmom passed away, I had this really strange cat dream. And I didn't have a cat at the time. And I had a dream that I woke up in my apartment and I walked out into the living room and there was a yellow, a tabby cat, sitting in the window of my apartment, and the window was open. And I was like, what are you doing in here? Why is the window open? And I just had this feeling like it was her or something. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
That's interesting, but that made me think of that.
Yeah, I think that's definitely possible.
So tell me about your story, case.
So the funny thing is, when I Googled this, the name of the sisters were called the Black Sisters.
Oh, I've heard of this.
Have you heard of them?
Yes.
Okay. Well, if you Google it, if you just type in the Black Sisters, it automatically suggests Harry Potter to you.
Should I type in Black Sisters Virginia or?
There were three of them actually, I have to watch it when I Google because I keep pulling up stuff about and Bellatrix.
Oh, I see it. Black Sisters of Christiansberg.
Yeah, that's what I've been searching. So.
Oh, I do not like this picture that they have on this site.
Which one are you looking at?
Oh, it looks like it's from that movie, The Woman in Black.
Oh, yeah. That's upset I am right now. There's a woman in a long black dress.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that's scary.
We'll have to put that on the blog. That is creepy.
Oh.
There's some paranormal sides to this, I guess, after everything occurred, not necessarily during.
Mm-hmm.
It's from Christiansburg, and that's in Southwest Virginia. It's kind of near Blacksburg, where Virginia Tech is. So I don't know. I don't think I've ever been to Christiansburg. I know I've been to Blacksburg because I think that's a rite of passage for every high school student. You have to go to Virginia Tech when you're a junior.
Yeah.
And I guess Christiansburg is maybe 45 minutes either. I think it's southwest or just kind of very slightly southwest of Blacksburg. Or maybe it's southeast. I can't remember. I don't do that. That side of the state very well with geography.
I don't either. I always get confused. When people are I live near Lynchburg, I'm like, okay. Yeah. I don't...
Okay. You're west of me. That's
I'm like, okay, I don't know where that is.
apparently this is the site of where this begins is actually, it's called the Montgomery Female College, and it was a school for women. A boarding school for young women, and started in the mid-1800s, it sounds like. But then one of the sisters, Virginia Wardwell, came to Christiansburg, and the former, or the current, I guess the current headmistress, gave the position to Virginia Wardwell. And the whole reason, their last name wasn't Black, which I find terrible. Apparently, the whole reason they called them the Black Sisters was because they all wore black nonstop. It was a very similar black uniform that they all wore. And of course, you wear all black all the time. That's going to start rumors about witches or Satanism or all that kind of good stuff. So, I think that sounds like where they got their name from. And the college, it looks like, so Virginia moved there. I believe it was 1905, and that's when she was offered the position. So she was really, really strict, and she was known for being really strict and having really harsh punishments. She was not married. She had never been married. And then apparently she was older. I'm not sure exactly how old she was, but her sisters, I do know, had adult children. So I'm assuming she was 50s, 60s at least. So she was known as a really strict headmistress. She had a lot of rules imposed on the girls. But even so, I guess because she was growing older, they didn't take her as seriously, and her leadership wasn't really the be all to end all that it would have been had it been a few years earlier, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the students that was actually attending was, she became pregnant by a farmhand in Christiansburg. And then, you know, that's going to look really, really bad on that school. So Virginia tried to sweep it all under the rug, hide it. And it's a small town. It's like 1905, 1906, and that's pretty much what they had to do with gossip all the time. And so everybody pretty much knew very quickly. And then when the girl actually gave birth, the baby just disappeared. Like, she was pregnant, then she wasn't, and the baby was completely gone. Then when people would ask the girl what happened to her baby, nobody would know. She would actually pretend like she had no clue what they were talking about. Then, let me see. So that was really the first scandal. And then, let me see what the next one is, because they kind of, I pulled information from a bunch of different sites. There's a lot of good information around here, but it's all kind of woven together. So then after that close call, she actually called for her two sisters, the widows, to come down and help her with the school.
Mm-hmm.
They were Caroline Martin and Mary Sneed. And again, they were black, and, you know, there were rumors everywhere that they were witches. And, but on the plus side, after time, nobody really believed that for real. Those kind of rumors just kind of fell away. With her sisters helping her, the school actually did start running a little bit better. And the only thing was, it ran better until they found Fletcher Sneed, the groundskeeper, dead in his bed with burns all over.
Whoa.
And she was actually the nephew of Mary Sneed, which, this is where it gets kind of crazy. His second wife, Osie, was Mary Sneed's daughter. They were actually married. I believe they actually ran away to New Jersey to get married. They were in Louisville, Kentucky to get married because they were first cousins and the family was opposed to it. So they had to get married in secret. And then after that, I think it was like 1908, they had a second ceremony. The sisters had agreed, had gotten over it because of the birth of their first kid. But yeah, they were kind of like tight. There's so many people involved in this. But they found him dead in his bed, but police were saying that it was written off as an accident. It said that he rolled over in his sleep and knocked over a candle near his bed. Until they kept investigating, and they discovered that the sisters had actually taken out a life insurance policy on him the week before.
How is that possible? Like, I mean,
I don't know.
How do you just take out a life insurance policy on somebody like that?
I guess the rules were different back then, maybe. Maybe you could take them out on people. Maybe they lied and said he was her son or something. Because I think, I'm not sure exactly how it would have worked back then, but I think it was just, you know, the death policies and the insurance guy would come around and collect your dime or your quarter or whatever once a week or something. So I wonder if they were just able to, like, hit up the insurance guy when he was visiting to collect money and just purchase the life insurance on him. So, I mean, I don't know. It's very strange that they were able to purchase that. But the other thing that that happened is, actually the school did close down about, let me think, 10 years later, I think. Let me just double check here. And it was shut down. Oh, okay. This was after they had left already. After the school closed down, the two other sisters, Mary and Caroline, moved to upstate New York, and then Virginia stayed in Christiansburg. And apparently there were some shady business deals that kind of brought Virginia to their attention. But she never actually went to
jail for those deals. So I guess that was, they were kind of on the radar, but they weren't exactly being sent to prison for any of this stuff. I think that back, Caroline Martin is actually Ozzie's mother. So there's, I'm kind of seeing a couple of different things. Actually, I'm seeing one where Fletcher is Mary Smith's nephew, and other sites where he's her son. So knowing that they were first cousins, I would say Fletcher is her son, since Caroline's daughter is Ozzie, and they were saying that the whole reason they were against the marriage was because of the first cousin situation.
Mm-hmm.
Then after the school had closed, and this is around 1909, the sisters were into some fraudulent business deals. Basically, the people who lived there didn't trust them at all. So they had basically, like, completely eroded any of that trust that mm-hmm. they had earned. So then, once up in New York, actually, I think it was, sorry, I'm seeing, like, I'm going back, I'm checking these, and it looks like one says New Jersey, one says New York. It says East Orange, New Jersey, and one says Brooklyn, New York. So she was up in that area.
Okay.
So Ozzie, Caroline Martin's daughter, was actually found dead in her bathtub at her apartment in New York. She was also a known drug addict. The police knew her as one. It was not anything that raised their curiosity immediately after the death, even though they found sedatives in her system. I guess they figured if she'd been known to do them before, there's really nothing to investigate. But then a reporter who was actually assigned to her death started snooping around, and he actually did find that the sisters had bought life insurance for Ozzie a week before, just like Fletcher. So,
wow.
There's a little scam going on there.
So the sisters were Caroline Martin, Mary Sneed, and Virginia Wardlaw.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they were pretty much, it sounds like they were all pretty much working in cahoots on these life insurance
situations. And they met working at the Montgomery Women's College.
Virginia was actually, she was the headmistress at first. She was given the position by the woman who actually owned the school.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked her sisters to come down from New York and help her run the school after the whole baby situation.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's a little confusing. So then once the school shut down, that's when Mary and Caroline went back to the New York, New Jersey area. And then Virginia did stay in Christiansburg. So once the reporter had found out about the life insurance, he did take those findings to the police. And because of that, Mary and Caroline ended up being sentenced to life in prison.
Whoa.
Yeah. And then they did try Virginia Wardlaw for Fletcher Sneed's murder. And she was also tried and convicted.
Wow.
So they did end up getting these women eventually. But the interesting thing is there's a lot of, like, little stories going around about what happened afterwards. I guess, trying to think who it was. What's her name? Virginia. Actually kind of was smiling when she went into jail.
Whoa.
And then, who was it? Caroline was transferred to a mental institution after her sentencing. And I take that back, actually. Caroline was not, or Mary was not put in jail. Mary was actually freed. It was Caroline who was put in jail. She was charged with manslaughter and was sentenced to 7 years in the state prison in New Jersey. And eventually she was transferred to a mental institution, and she died in 1913. And from what I can tell, it looks like all three sisters were, their bodies were actually transferred to Christiansburg. And they were buried. I know that Virginia's grave was marked, and it did have a tombstone, but according to some residents out there, it has been taken down now. I think it was a victim of vandalizing. People were vandalizing it. So I think that's...
So basically, they were killing people to after they had bought insurance on them.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're going to kill someone for no reason, I mean, that's a good way to do it. Buy life insurance and then do it.
Yeah, I just thought it was weird.
Not that I have to keep killing anybody.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. So, and from what I understand, the Montgomery College was actually torn down. It stayed up for a while, and it was Christiansburg Middle School until the building got so old that they finally tore it down and built a new middle school on it. That's where there are a lot of reports of paranormal activity, all the lights turning on and the janitor having to go in and turn them off.
It said, I was on a site that was talking about how paranormal activities such as ear-shattering screams and random unexplained fires in the kitchen.
Yeah. And I did see another thing about, lights going on and off. Oh, I've also heard that, where they're buried, that there were claims that someone saw them, dancing around the cemetery doing a strange ritual, which may just tie back to the whole satanic thing. But there's also, I don't think this is a story. I think someone actually saw this. They saw an unmarked, well, it wasn't unmarked, but it was a really tiny little tombstone. And it said something about Virginia, and then underneath it said she's not dead.
Whoa.
So, I don't know if that's just somebody playing tricks on people or what.
Where is the tombstone again?
This was on a mountain. I couldn't figure out which mountain, but the tombstones, I believe, are still in one of the cemeteries in Christiansburg.
Okay.
Or at least they were, because Virginia's has been taken down. Because it sounds like it was vandalized and stuff.
So they've rebuilt the school, there's a new school.
Yeah.
Wow. I bet you the kids that go there are always talking about that story.
They're going to talk about something like that. I wouldn't
want to
be in a school like that after dark, though.
No. Absolutely not. Well, it sounds like they, are we confirmed that they were witches, or was that
a
rumor?
No, I think that's just a rumor. I mean, you have, the satanic panic of the 80s. I imagine in the early 1900s or, late 1800s, people are still believing in that stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and little stuff can excite people as well back then. Mm-hmm. I think if you don't have, TV or radio to entertain you, you gotta make do with gossip and stories, so, I don't think they were witches at all, even pretend.
So, yeah, I think that they just were greedy, and they wanted money.
Yeah.
Who do you think was the ringleader? Because I don't think... What?
Virginia, and then I think, it sounds like Caroline had a little bit more to do with it, too. Mary was involved, but I think it seems like she kind of let her sisters take the lead. But, I mean, the fact that Virginia, that baby was born and then disappeared without a trace, that she's got to have, some kind of, she had to have, a really hard heart to do that.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
So, yeah. I just thought that was kind of cool. So, because I've never actually heard too much about them before.
Yeah, it's this article I'm looking at says the tale of the notorious witches lived in an adolescence's stories through the years.
Yeah.
So,
it says that all the students, teachers, and custodians of the middle school have all made claims of odd noises coming from the furnace or boiler room, shadows of three at the end of the basement hallway, and of a broom that stood up by itself in the gym. What? Can we have some photos of this? Or?
I know. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a really interesting story. I'm going to have to stop by that middle school sometime. And
I know. I'm going to have to, next time I go out to Roanoke, I think I need to drive to Christiansburg.
Yeah, I finally pulled it up on the map, so I kind of have an idea where it is now.
Yeah, it's not that far. It's like three and a half hours or something like that.
Yeah.
So.
Cool.
It sounds like the Virginia Paranormal Society and like the Southwest Virginia ghost hunters or whatever. Have actually done little investigations up there too, which would kind of be fun to learn more about.
Have you ever looked into going on one of those?
I have. I haven't actually. I had a bad experience at one of the museums around here.
Oh.
And I'm not sure I can do it again.
What was your experience?
It was at the Poe Museum.
Oh.
I went up with a friend of mine. My son was playing little Edgar Allan Poe in a birthday celebration for Poe. My friend was working there at the time. She had asked him to play him. So we were up in her office, and it was in the, I think it's that second house, the little stone house. We were up in her office, and then there's a little room back there with all the original source materials.
Yeah.
And she let me go inside and look. And I got freaked out. I had a horrible feeling. I felt like something was, like, taking my breath away. And I had to get out of that place. So I don't know. It may have just been dust, but it didn't feel like dust. And nobody else had that happen. And it turns out that she said that, because she's had a lot of experiences in Richmond, actually. You might want to probably should talk to her at some point. But she said that there had been a paranormal group investigating that week, and there had been some really scary things that they had gotten on tape.
Oh my gosh.
She didn't want to tell me before that's I got there.
So in those scary movies, that's always what I don't like is the voice that they get. Ugh, I can't.
Yeah. I didn't hear a voice or anything. I just got like really, like, short of breath, and it felt like something was in there yelling at me to get out.
Poe Museum, if anybody listening ever is in Richmond and wants to go somewhere creepy, go to the Poe Museum. It's not a huge museum. The building it's in is the oldest house in Richmond.
And
you can tell it looks really out of place downtown, but and it's really tiny, but I promise you it's worth just going to check out, because I went there on a ghost tour. I went there and then we did like a downtown ghost tour. And so there's all these little places in downtown Richmond that they claim to be haunted. And a lot of it is because there were hospitals downtown, a lot of them Confederate.
Right.
Soldier hospitals, and that's where they're claiming that is coming from.
Do they have prisons down there too?
They might have, yes. And then that's also where that train tunnel collapsed, and they claim to have seen the vampire of Richmond.
Right. Yeah, I've heard rumors about that too.
Yes.
I can't remember what I've heard, but I've heard like them say that the train whistle blows or something.
So, from what I remember, and I can pull it up online, but
by the way, this is our paranormal episode, by the way.
It is. So they're back to we're just gonna go right back to Hollywood Cemetery. So they say that the mausoleum of W.W. Poole, which is dated 1913. Okay. Holds the remains of a vampire.
Oh, cool.
supposedly Poole, this is Wikipedia, y'all. I'll post the link. Supposedly Poole was run out of England in the 1800s for being a vampire. Oral legends to this effect were circulating back by the 1960s. They may be influenced by the architecture of the tomb, which has both Masonic and ancient Egyptian elements, and double W's looking like fangs. Because the cemetery is adjacent to VCU, the story became popular among students, especially from the 1980s. Hold on a second, because that's not what I heard.
Oh,
here we go. According to the newer story, the tunneling... Hold on a second. Vampire Chesapeake, Ohio. Okay, here we go. In the past few years, the vampire story has been combined with the collapse of the Chesapeake and Ohio Railroad's Churchill Tunnel under Churchill, a neighborhood of eastern Richmond, which buried several workers alive on October 2nd, 1925. So, and then the story showed, the part of the story where they talk about the vampire showed up in on the internet in 2001 and was first reported in print in 2007 in Haunted Richmond, The Shadows of Shaco. According to the story, the tunneling awakened an ancient evil that lived under Church Hill and brought the tunnel crashing down on the workers. Rescue teams found an unearthly blood-covered creature with jagged teeth and skin hanging from its muscular body, crouching over one of the victims. The creature escaped from the cave-in and raced down the James River, toward the James River, pursued by a group of men. The creature took refuge in Hollywood Cemetery, where it disappeared in a mausoleum built into a hillside bearing the name W.W. Poole.
Oh, yikes. Okay.
According to Gregory Maitland, an urban legend and folklore researcher with the paranormal research groups Night Shift and the Virginia Ghosts and Haunting Research Society, the creature that escaped the tunnel collapse was actually the 28-year-old railroad fireman Benjamin Mosby, who had been shoveling coal into the firebox of a steam locomotive of a work train with no shirt on when the cave-in occurred and the boiler ruptured. Mosby's upper body was horribly scalded, and several of his teeth were broken before he made his way through the opening of the tunnel. Witnesses reported he was in shock, and layers of his skin were hanging from his body. He died later at Grace Hospital and was buried at Hollywood Cemetery. So, we don't know if the vampire is real, but that's the story.
That's kind of cool. I've never heard of that. Now I want to go down there and look.
Yeah, the train tunnel obviously is not there. You can't see it because it's, well, it collapsed in on itself. But if you Google it, you can find where it is and go over there. There's some really nice, like, loft apartments that they built right next to where that happened. It was kind of, when you go on the Richmond Ghost Tour, it's a little underwhelming in the sense that everywhere they're pointing at is like a apartment building now. So it's like, oh, okay, you're just telling us about a building. But I think it's cool. It's just a cool activity to do. It was nighttime and it was, you know, that time of year, fall, and going to the Poe Museum, and so it was a good time, but definitely not anything closely resembling, like you don't see anything. You don't go into the buildings or any of that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's great to pull on most ghost tours, I think. Just get to see the historical side of it.
Yeah, it was cool. They also talked about the ghost that lives in the bathroom at Rosie Connolly's downtown.
Oh, I didn't know that one.
Yeah. I've been there a couple times, and definitely it's creepy being back in the bathroom there because of the way it's situated in the restaurant. I can definitely see why someone would claim to have experienced something back there, but little Richmond folklore for ya.
And if y'all are looking for a good place to visit for a weekend, Richmond has got a lot of good stuff to it.
Yes.
You have to fill a little, like, plug for our city here.
I feel like we're like the brewery capital of the world now. There's so many beer places now. It's insane.
Us in Portland, yeah.
I love beer, but it's nice to have all that going on.
Yeah. And there's so much history here.
Yeah, there is a lot of history.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, do we...
That was a fun little paranormal episode.
Yeah, it was cool. It turned into a paranormal episode. Well, do you have anything else you want to talk about?
I don't think so. You know, find us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CrimeQuestPod. Please rate and review. Like we said, we really need to start showing up. We know y'all are listening, and we really, really appreciate that. But we just would love to get on the charts a little bit.
Yes, definitely.
So
we will do our part to be better about being on social media a little more.
Yeah.
And I think, too, it'll help the more podcasts we have, the more that exposure we'll get. So, more listeners. All right, everybody. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Crime Quest. It is our goal to make this as informative as possible. If you heard something amazing and want to give us a review, please do so on iTunes along with a rating. If you have suggestions for show topics, please send them to crimequestpod@gmail.com. Also, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at crimequestpod. Thanks! Crime Quest would like to give special thanks to Hemi Haynes for putting together our music for this episode. Thanks, Hemi!